Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
And then you mentioned, so does that, the summary that we went through, does that cover all of the autosomal STR DNA analysis that you conducted in this case?
Yes, it is.
And you talked earlier about this, the YSTR DNA and conclusions that you that there is YSTR DNA analysis that can be done. Did you utilize that in this case?
Yes, I did.
And what items did you test for using the YSTR method?
So using that YSTR method, I tested the oral swabs from Shad Therian for use as a standard for comparisons. And I also tested the swab from the dildo. So that swab from the dildo had a large amount of female DNA and a relatively small amount of male DNA. So I decided to perform this YSTR testing on it as well.
And with respect to item J1, what was your YSTR testing conclusion?
I developed a mixture of at least two males. So at least two different males contributed DNA to this mixture. This mixture is suitable for exclusionary purposes only. So I cannot make an inclusionary statement, or I cannot say that somebody is consistent with the DNA in this mixture. I can only make comparisons, and if there are enough differences between the mixture and the individual standard, I might be able to say that that person's DNA is not present, so they would be excluded. Otherwise, if they cannot be excluded, they would be inconclusive. So for this comparison, I compared the YSTR profile from Shad Therian to this mixture from the swab from the dildo. And I concluded that the possible contribution of DNA from Shad Therian is inconclusive due to the complexity of the mixture.
Mr. Scott, the conclusions that you testified here to today and the conclusions that are contained in your report, are those your opinions to a reasonable degree of professional responsibility?
I believe so.
I would move for the admission of the exhibit, Your Honor. I think it's 88.
Any objection to 88?
One moment, Your Honor. No objection.
88 will be received.
No further questions for the witness at this time.
Okay, cross-examination, Mr. Fralick.
Mr. Scott, good afternoon. As to the testing and swabbing of the dildo, item J1, are you saying that you could not confirm whether or not Shad Therian's DNA is on that item? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. He had an uninformative conclusion for the autosomal results and an inconclusive conclusion for the YSTR results.
If that item was touched on someone's body, would it be likely that DNA would show up on that item?
DNA can transfer to an item. That's possible. However, it is also possible that an object could be touched and we would not be able to detect enough of that person's DNA to develop a profile.
If I shook your hand, would my DNA likely transfer to your hand and vice versa?
It's possible.
You tested a light switch, correct?
I tested a
profile from a light switch?
Yes, I had a swab that was reportedly from a light switch.
Do you know which light switch it was?
It was from a red substance on a bedroom light switch.
Okay. And it's true that blood was not detected on that light switch. That's item G?
Correct. Blood was not detected on that item.
But you don't know what location, correct, where they came from, which light switch, what address?
If I remember correctly, I thought it was from Taylor Business's apartment, but I don't have that information in my report.
That would be at Eastman Avenue? On Eastman Avenue? Do you know?
I would have to check my my notes that I have with me to see if that information is available. I don't remember offhand.
You tested some penile swabs from Shad Therian, correct?
Yes.
And what was the purpose of that? What was the purpose of the testing?
They were submitted to me.
Okay. But you were looking for DNA, correct?
Yes.
His DNA?
I was looking for any DNA that was present on the item.
Okay. And sperm cells were not identified on the penile swabs from Mr. Theory, and that was item I, correct?
That's correct.
So when you do DNA testing, you just test whatever you're asked to test, correct?
Typically, we do have the ability to choose which items that we want to test, and occasionally if a case has a probative result, we may not continue testing other items depending on the circumstances of the case. But in general, I would test most of the items that are submitted to me.
Okay. I know that you found some very strong support for inclusion as it results from the right and left-hand swabs of Taylor Shabizis, correct?
That's correct.
And basically, are you saying that you found DNA from Shad Therian on Ms. Shabizis' hands? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there is very strong support that DNA from Shad Therian is present on those swabs.
Okay. And if people are hanging out, going out for dinner or using drugs or whatever they're doing, and they have physical contact in some way, shape, or form, DNA can be transferred, correct?
That's possible, yes.
You did look at swabs from the inside of a box, right?
That's correct.
That was item F1?
Correct.
And the major contributor to the inside of the box was Shad Therian, correct?
That's correct, yes.
No DNA from Taylor Shabizis was found in the box or on the box, correct?
So there was a minor contributor. However, it was not suitable for comparison, so that could be from anybody, including Taylor Shabizis.
Okay. If I, just hypothetically speaking, if I picked up a box and put it in the back of my car or put it downstairs in the basement or wherever, would my DNA likely transfer to the box?
It's possible.
When you refer to a minor contributor, what does that mean? Can you explain that for me?
So in a profile that has a major contributor and a minor contributor, the major contributor would just be the DNA profile from that one person who contributed the most DNA to the mixture, and the minor contributor would be the profile from the person who contributed the lesser amount of DNA to that mixture.
Okay. And when you talk about DNA being found, you're not necessarily saying it's blood, saliva, semen, or anything. You're just saying that it's DNA, correct?
Correct. Typically, when we generate these DNA profiles, they would They would typically be from any source of DNA that's present on the item, whether it's skin cells or blood or saliva.
Okay. And hypothetically speaking, if I have people over to my residence and I have a get-together, and people touch the light switch, maybe they go in the bathroom and use the switch, does that, would their DNA likely transfer to the light switch?
It's possible.
Is that how sometimes you can have a two or multiple person mixture? Is that how that results?
If there's DNA from multiple individuals on the item, then there could be a mixture, yes.
Okay, I have no other questions. Thank you.
Redirect?
Sort of a small point of clarification. As it related to item F, which was the swab reportedly from a red substance inside a box, you didn't actually do that swabbing yourself, correct?
Correct. I received a swab from the law enforcement agency.
And the swab itself specifically denoted that it was from a red substance inside the box, correct?
Yes, that was the information that was given to me.
Typically, if you saw that, that would not be suggestive that the entire outside of the box would have been swabbed and included in that as well, correct?
I would assume it was only from the swabbing of that substance inside the box, not the outside.
Thank you. No further questions.
Anything on those questions, Mr. Fraley?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You're excused. Okay, state's next witness.
State called Olivia Sassman.
Okay, we're right up here, ma'am. And then before you have a seat, if you could just turn and face her, raise your right hand, she will place you under oath. Around the, there you go.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter, now before the court, so help you God.
Yes.
Test was.
State your name for the record.
Olivia Sassman.
Okay, then the witness is yours, Mr. Saunders.
Hi, Ms. Sassman. How are you employed?
I currently work for DCI, the Division of Criminal Investigations, and I am the Evidence Program Manager.
Okay. DCI, is that a state agency?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Did you previously have employment with a different state agency?
Yes, I used to work for the State Crime Lab in Madison.
Okay. And how are you employed with the Crime Lab?
I was an evidence specialist.
What does that mean?
That means that I receipted any evidence that came into the lab. I also released evidence once we were done testing it.
And can you describe the process, I guess, how the Wisconsin State Crime Lab receives items of evidence?
So law enforcement agencies can either submit evidence in person or they can mail it in through USPS, FedEx, UPS. And once we receive the evidence, we enter it into our laboratory information system, and we create a case.
And then as part of the receipt process, is there also, you know, documentation that's completed with respect to the condition of some of those items?
Yes. So agencies will send in a transmittal that lists all the items of evidence that they are submitting, and then we provide them with a receipt. If there is something wrong with the evidence packaging, we will make a note of it on the receipt.
show you what's been marked as Exhibit 89. I'll start with that one. There, do you recognize Exhibit 89?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
That is a receipt of physical evidence.
And is that a form that's typically completed by the Wisconsin State Crime Lab as part of a receipt of evidence in a case?
Yes, this is the receipt that we provide to law enforcement agencies once we're done entering their case.
Okay. And I should have asked, you being employed with the Wisconsin State Crime Lab, were you employed in that capacity in March and April of 2022?
Yes.
Okay. And then with respect to Exhibit 89, does it indicate who from the lab would have received the items of evidence that were submitted?
It said that I received them.
Okay. And is there also an area to sign and date that?
Yes.
What was the date of that receipt at the Wisconsin State Crime Lab?
March 10th, 2022.
Thank you. Does it indicate an agency or, I guess, the Wisconsin State Crime Lab's case number?
Yes, it does.
What is that?
M22636.
And does the receipt indicate how the items were received by the crime lab?
It says they were received in person.
Right. And then does it indicate who submitted them?
Nathan Kolinsky.
Okay. Is he with the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes, he is.
All right. And then how many items were received by the Wisconsin State Crime Lab?
10 items.
Are those items A through J?
Yes.
All right. Are those items that kind of get designated by the crime lab?
Yes.
All right. And then, so basically, Exhibit 89 is a receipt that the crime lab received these items on that date.
Yes.
Okay. And then I think earlier you also mentioned part of your responsibilities were also releasing evidence. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I guess when are items released from the Wisconsin State Crime Lab?
We release the items when the analysts are done testing them.
And I believe in front of you, or sorry, to your left, is Exhibit 90. Is that still up there?
Yes.
Do you recognize Exhibit 90?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
That is an evidence release form.
Does that just indicate that the previously mentioned items A through J were returned to the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Does it also indicate who released those from those crime lab?
Yes.
And who would that have been?
I released them.
All right. And is there also a signature and date on that?
Yes.
What's the date that they were returned?
April 21st, 2022.
And again, those are documents that you would believe you would prepare based on your signature and time and date?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I'd move Exhibits 89 and 90.
Any objection?
No objection. Subject to cross.
89 and 90 will be received.
In either document, is there any notation with respect to an irregularity or issue with the state of those items of evidence?
No.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Cross-examination, Mr. Fralick.
Your Honor, could I have Exhibits 89 and 90? There. I have enough. Thank you. Ms. Sassman, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You work for the Division of Criminal Investigations, otherwise known as DCI?
Yes, I do.
And that's part of the Wisconsin State Crime Lab?
No, it's part of the Department of Justice.
Okay.
But we are separate from the crime lab.
Part of DOJ?
Yes.
And your role is to be the evidence specialist?
At DCI, I'm the evidence program manager. When I was at the crime lab, I was an evidence specialist.
Okay. So you supervise other people?
No, I'm at DCI. I'm in charge of things like audits and scheduling those things and making sure all the evidence rooms are running smoothly.
Okay. Back in March and April of 2022, you were the evidence specialist. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that job was to do what? Track evidence and keep it in proper custody?
Yes, we would receive the evidence as it came in. If the analysts needed the evidence, we would release it to them, and then we would release it to the agencies once we were done with the analysis.
Exhibit 89 is here, and it's the receipt of physical evidence. You saw that, correct?
Yes.
You have it up by you?
I do.
So you received items A through J, is that correct?
Correct.
And these items were in sealed manila envelopes, correct?
Some of the items.
And the items that you received were basically buccal swabs or various swabs from different items. Is that fair?
There's also a pair of sweatpants. Okay. But everything else is, and a dildo.
Okay. You received all that?
Yes.
When you get it, when you get this this evidence, where do you put it?
It depends on the type of evidence that we receive.
I'm talking about this case.
For swabs?
Yeah.
We would put them in the freezer for storage.
Okay.
For the sweatpants, we would put them in our general storage.
Okay. And at the DCI, Department of Justice, you have like a evidence room where you keep things?
At DCI, yes.
Okay. And is it secure?
Yes.
Locked?
Yes.
And are you responsible for who takes items out and who puts items in?
At DCI, it depends on the location. We have multiple DCI offices around the state.
All of the items that we're talking about, were they kept in Madison?
Yes, they were kept at the state crime lab,
okay.
Not at DCI.
Oh, at the state crime lab, okay. Yes. But were you working there at the time?
I was working for the crime lab, yes.
Okay. Can other people have access to these particular items, or is it only analysts?
So the only people that have access to the evidence room are other evidence specialists and supervisors.
Okay.
So an analyst cannot access them.
If an analyst wants to do testing on these items, what do they have to do? Do they have to confer with you and get approval from you?
They have to contact us, and then we will provide them with the evidence.
Okay. And is that what happened in this particular case?
Yes.
Okay. When an analyst wants to do testing, do they do the testing on one day and then put it back?
Usually, no. That's a better question for the analysts. They tend to keep the evidence until they're completely done with it.
Could they keep it for days on end or not?
Yes, they can.
Okay. And so when they go home at night for, you know, after work, where do the items stay?
The analysts have their own secure locations to store the evidence.
Okay. When you received these items, do you inspect them to see if whether they got damaged in the mail or there's any issues with the packaging or labeling or anything like that?
Yes. So we will check the evidence packaging to make sure there's no tears or damage. And then we make, if there are labels on the packaging from the agency, we will make sure it matches the transmittal.
Okay. Have you ever seen items that are received by the state crime lab that are damaged?
I've seen damaged packaging before.
When you got these items A through J, were any of the items, the packages damaged?
No, they were not.
Okay. Everything was intact?
Yes.
Anything about the items that you received that were cause for concern?
No.
Okay. I'm sure in your experience, you've seen labels that are mismarked and things like that, correct?
Yes.
It happens sometimes, right?
It does.
Did that happen with any of the items that you received with regards to this case?
No, it did not.
And then is it protocol then to fill out this form and identify the item and then describe what it is?
Yes.
Do you fill out this form?
Yes.
And then do you sign it as the recipient?
Yes, I do.
And you received items A through J on what, March 10th of 2022?
Yes.
That was at 11:01 a.m.?
Yes.
With regards to Exhibit 90, the evidence disposition hyphen release form, is that a form you prepared?
Yes, it is.
And does this evidence disposition release form contain all of the same items that are on the other one? Or does it contain more?
It contains more.
Why are these two forms different? Why do they have different items?
So the evidence receipt form, that is all the evidence that was submitted to the lab on March 10th. The evidence release form is all of the evidence that is being sent back to the agency, and that includes a DNA packet that the analyst creates, as well as all the extractions from the analysis that they completed.
This Exhibit 90, did you sign this evidence disposition form?
Yes, I did.
Did you type it up?
Yes.
And was it dated April 21st or April 22nd of 2022?
So I created it on April 21st, 2022.
And then someone else signed it on April 22nd of 2022?
Yes.
Why is that?
So we returned the evidence through Speedy, which is a courier company. And so Green Bay Police Department would have received it on April 22nd, 2022. And that is their signature.
So after all the testing was done and all these items that the Wisconsin State Crime Lab received, Speedy Delivery Service was used to transport it back to Green Bay to the police department?
Yes.
Why didn't someone from the State Crime Lab deliver it to the Green Bay Police Department?
It is not our policy to deliver the evidence back to agencies. We either ship it back or they have to come in person and pick it up.
Did you call the Green Bay Police Department to ask them to come and pick up these items once they were done being tested?
No.
Okay. Why not? Wouldn't that be something you would do?
Generally, we always ship the evidence back unless it's for an agency that is near the crime lab in Madison, or if it contains a lot of large items, like, for example, like a rifle, which would be much harder to ship back.
Was everything shipped back to the Green Bay Police Department on April 21st of 2022, or was it a different day?
It was shipped back on April 21st, 2022.
Okay. And is it true that the Green Bay Police Department received these items the next day on April 22nd of 2022?
That's what they wrote on the form.
Okay. A day later?
Yes.
So we don't know where this stuff was sitting for a whole day, do we?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing further.
Redirect?
No.
Thank you. You can step down. State's next witness.
Caleb, you want these back?
State will call A.J. Gannon.
If you want to step up here, and before you have a seat, turn and face her and raise your right hand.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God.
Yes.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Can I speak right now?
Yes.
My name is Alexander Gannon.
Okay, the witness is yours, Mr. Saunders.
I introduced you as AJ. Is that a preferred nickname you go by?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but your proper name is Alexander.
Yes.
Okay. So is it okay if I call you AJ?
That's fine.
All right. So AJ, how old are you?
25.
Do you live in the Green Bay area?
Yes.
Did you grow up here as well?
Yes.
Did you go to high school and middle school here?
Yes.
AJ, do you know somebody by the name of Shad Therian?
Yes.
And how do you know Shad?
I've known him since middle school.
Right. And what middle school did you go to school with him at?
I think I saw him before a couple times in like an intermediate, but we mainly ran up at Bayview.
Okay. Bayview Middle School?
Yeah.
Okay. And throughout, you know, schooling, and I guess now you're an adult, did you keep in touch with Shad?
Well, after about like, maybe like, it was the first year I moved into my apartment was when I started really connecting with a lot of people from that I've ran into or I've talked with, and Shad was one of them.
So there's a reacquainting period, I guess?
Yes.
All right. AJ, do you also know somebody named Taylor Coronado or Shabusiness?
Yes.
And how do you know her?
Since middle school.
Similar to Shad?
Yes.
Did you remain kind of friendly with Taylor as well?
Yes.
Sorry, is that a yes?
Yes.
Sorry. So, AJ, I want to ask you about February 21st of 2022. It was a Monday. Do you recall the date I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know when like this happened, but I don't know.
Sure. So do you recall a day where you were, I guess hanging out with Shad and Taylor?
Okay. I didn't, you were saying like the date, but I didn't.
Sure.
I didn't have context. So.
Sure. So I want to ask you then, let's get this way. At some point, did you become aware that Shad had passed away?
It was only after when the day before I was heading out to vacation to see my parents.
Okay.
My dad specifically. All
right. And was that in February of 22?
No, it was like a week after. I think it was, so it was in February. No, I had vacation in June, but I don't remember. I'm sorry. I have a lot of like mental problems.
Sure.
So it's like hard to like keep a constant catalog of memories.
Sure. So are you referring to when you learned that Shad had passed?
All I knew was it was like a week. It was a week after, like, something like that. I don't know for sure. All I knew was basically the day after, a couple days after, I was going to the Eastman apartment buildings because that's where I knew Taylor was at the time. And ironically, the same day that I went there, the police were knocking on my door specifically. To try and get in to reach for me with the situation. And the only thing that I knew at the time was basically they asked if I knew the whereabouts of Shad and Taylor. Mm-hmm. So like that's like the closest thing I can remember. It's just
sure. And I know we're talking about something a long time ago and dates may be a little fuzzy, is that fair?
Yeah, especially sure. When you don't.
So that time you were talking about where law enforcement was asking you some questions, do you remember telling them about a time you were hanging out with Shad and Taylor?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you tell
us about that?
Yes. I was drinking a little bit belligerently, so it's the only time that I looked at like the clock was like before I left the apartment, my apartment. So it was like after 10:30, around that time frame. And like basically it was like I just decided to stop dissociating a lot, and I felt bad for not talking to a whole lot of friends that I used to talk to, like Taylor and Shad. So I just hit up Taylor randomly and I was like, hey, like what's up? Are you gonna hang out? And then basically, I went over to the apartments, and when I got there, we were just chilling, chopping it up, like how we always do. And I was like, Taylor was thinking, asking like, do you wanna hang out with Shad? She was asking me, like, for consent to hang out with Shad, to, like, to bring him over. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. Okay. And so...
Could I stop you right there? I'm sorry. I just have a quick question. So when you said you were at the apartment, which apartment is this?
The Eastman, the Meadowview East Apartments.
Okay. Is that kind of where you thought Taylor was staying, or whose apartment was it?
It was it was the same apartments that I lived there. So it was like, I'm sorry, what?
Sure. So the apartment is on Eastman that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I interrupted. You were with Taylor, and then she brought up hanging out with Shad?
Yeah.
Did you meet up with Shad that night?
Yes, I did.
And where were you sort of hanging out with Shad then?
We picked him up, went back to the apartment, and was just chopping it up.
Is that the same apartment you were just talking about?
Yes.
All right. And I want to date myself. Chopping it up, what does that mean?
Oh, it's just like kicking it, talking about whatever, just small talk or anything. Just kind of having conversation.
Is it a pretty good chill atmosphere?
Yeah, it was a good vibe.
No major, you know, issues or anything that stick out to you?
I never saw one thing that night.
Shad was acting normal?
Yes, he was.
Taylor was acting normal?
Yes.
And you said this was about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night?
This was when I went to the apartment, like around that time frame.
All right. And this is still the apartment on Eastman?
Yes.
Okay. And then at some point, do you leave that apartment?
I left. I did leave. Mm-hmm. I left probably like at least maybe like a couple hours, maybe until like 1-2 in the morning. I don't know for sure. It's like I said, I only looked at the time before I left the apartment, and I was a little drunk, so.
Okay. But at some point, you left the apartment. Were Shad and Taylor still at the apartment when you left?
From what I saw, I don't know, but that's what, yes, from what I saw.
And then after that point, had you ever seen Shad again?
What?
After that point, after you left that apartment, had you ever seen Shad again?
No. Ironically, I hit him up the day after, or like... a couple of days, like the first week into the situation, and I message him about a song that he posted on his Facebook, which was like some rap song that I liked, and I was like, yeah, I just like randomly sent him a message that day. I was like, yeah, that shit's dope. And then I was like feeling a little, when I don't have people talking to me a whole lot, I get a little anxious. And now I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, I'm a little concerned immediately.
Okay.
But, like, I didn't realize until after I talked, my friend mentioned to me specifically about what happened.
And I'm sorry, I'm jumping around on you here. I want to go back to when it was you and Taylor, and yes. You went to go pick up Shad. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How did you pick up Shad?
Me?
How did you and Taylor go and pick him up?
Okay. Well, we took a minivan.
Who drove?
Taylor.
Do you know whose minivan that was?
No.
Okay. Was it a minivan that was at that apartment that you were at?
Yes.
And you went to Shad's house to pick him up?
Yes.
Thank you, AJ. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Mr. Frelick, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Mr. Gannon, good afternoon. You knew Taylor and Shad since middle school?
Yes.
Okay. And you went to school at Bayview Middle School? Yes?
Yes.
And then did you go to high school together as well?
A little bit until the freshman year.
Okay. Did you go
I went to three different high schools in my freshman year.
Okay.
So it's bouncing a lot.
That's okay. Did you go to high school with Taylor Shabizis?
Yes.
At Bayport?
Yes.
Okay. And you kind of knew her pretty well, correct?
Yes. Enough to associate with her.
You were friends with her?
Yeah, to associate and be friends with, yes.
And was it your understanding that at least in high school, she had Therion and Taylor Shabizis kind of were boyfriend and girlfriend? They dated a little bit?
Yes. I don't know how the connection between them, but it seemed like at the time, after the breakup with Corey, it seems like that's like the only person that she always chill with sometimes. That's whenever I see Shad more times over, especially when he's like chilling, I see Taylor or a couple other friends in that circle in there.
Okay.
They're pretty cool people.
Sure. Did you sometimes go over to Shad Therion's mother's house, Tara Pakinich, on Stony Brook Lane?
Yeah, the year that I moved out, I visited a couple times, at least a handful of times.
Okay. Would you go over there to maybe eat or play video games and watch TV?
We wouldn't do a whole lot, but I just came. Typically, I was like the runt that would just be chilling with the whole pack, basically, of dogs that we're chilling with, you know what I'm saying?
So you just kind of hang out with the group?
Yeah, just hanging out with the group. Yes,
okay. All right. So. Okay. Would you sometimes go over to Shad's father's house, Michael Therion's house?
Yes.
Okay. And was it such that Shad Therion, he lived with his father, Michael Therion?
At the time that I heard of,
okay.
Yes.
So you had been to Shad's father's house and Shad's mother's house, correct?
Yes.
And fair to say that you'd been over to the apartment on Eastman Avenue where Taylor Shabizis was living, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And, sir, you'd go over to that residence to kind of chill or hang out, listen to music, watch TV, whatever, correct?
Yeah.
You had Taylor's phone number?
I had her Facebook.
Okay. And as far as Shad Therion, you had his phone number or Facebook information?
Yeah, I had his Facebook at the time, too.
Fair to say that all three of you, yourself, Mr. Gannon, Taylor Shabizis, and Shad Therion, you all had each other's contact information, correct?
Yes, but after a rough, like, patch with, like, a friend, I was, like, chilling. I just started dissociating, and just, like, I do that a lot for the past 10, 20 years. I just, like, if there's, like, a sort of discrepancy, I just, like, cut you off. It's, like, block you or whatever. And then that's the reason why the day before that situation with the murder, I hit Taylor up because I just wanted to associate again.
Okay.
So
now, Taylor Shabizis has a father. Do you know her dad?
Yes.
Okay. His name is Arturo Coronado. Is that correct?
Yes.
Had you been over to Arturo Coronado's house?
Yes.
And was that with Taylor?
It was not the. This was like maybe like a year or like so before I visited. There's been very few times since I personally talked to Art. So
okay, but had you been over to Art's house with Taylor in the past?
Yes, I have.
So you kind of knew Taylor pretty well, fair?
Yeah.
Okay, and you knew Shad very well, correct?
Yeah.
Was it such that there were times when maybe you'd be hanging out with Taylor and Shad where they would be using marijuana together?
Prior acts aren't relevant. Wait.
Stop. Your Honor, I'll withdraw.
Thank you.
Question's withdrawn. Okay, ask another question, Mr. Frelick.
Did you see Taylor Shabizis on February 23rd of 2022?
February 23rd?
Yes.
No.
How about the day before on February 22nd of 2022?
No.
You saw her on February 21st of 2022, correct? That was a Monday?
I don't know what day that was.
Okay.
That's just a little bit too out of my polymath. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. But you did all hang out together, and you drove over to Michael Therian's house. Is that your testimony?
Michael Therian?
Yes.
I think, like, all I remember... I don't know.
Okay. So you're not good with dates, correct?
I'm better with dates, just not like recently, up for like the past 5, 10
okay.
years. So
that's fine. So when, prior to you being told that Shad Therian was deceased, the days before you were told that, you were hanging out with Shad and Taylor, correct?
Yes.
And did you notice anything odd about Taylor as far as her mannerisms, her eyes, her speech, anything like that?
No.
Did you have any feelings that she was acting weird when you had contact with her? Bizarre?
No.
Had there been occasions where you've seen her and you felt that she was acting very odd or unusual?
Judge, relevance.
Mr. Frelick?
Well, I think it goes to his observations of my client, Your Honor.
Well, then you need to narrow it down with it for a time frame for him. So I'm going to sustain the objection as to ask another question, Mr. Frelick.
Okay, sure. In the, Mr. Yenna,
yep.
In the week before you had contact with the police where you talked to the officer, had you you saw Taylor Shabizis at that period of time, is that fair?
Yes.
And did you, when you saw her, was it just one time or was it several times?
It was only one time.
Okay. And that one time when you saw her, did you observe her to be acting in any kind of bizarre manner?
No.
Okay. Okay, nothing further. Thank you very much,
sir. Can you redirect?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You can step down. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our afternoon recess. It's just a little bit before 3. We'll try to reconvene at 10 after 3. So all rise for the jury. Can I get a sense, Mr. Saunders, as far as witnesses go? Last night we went to about 5, although that just kind of went off the rails a little bit as far as timing. And I guess I'm wondering if you can give me a sense of what we're looking at this evening.
We have 6 more witnesses that would be available today. I would think they'd be on the shorter end,
okay.
But I think we could finish them.
All right. Very good. Then we're in recess until 3:10. Anything else, actually, Mr. Frehley?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Very good. We're in recess.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Okay. Yes.
You're listening to True Crime Today in the Hidden Killers podcast, continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabizis, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.